Welcome to the worship service from Trinity Chapel in Seven Mile Ford, Virginia. Trinity Chapel is a small, traditional, and biblically based congregation in the southwest corner of Virginia. The church pastor is the Reverend Bob Bierman, also host of Truth to Ponder, heard on this station. We invite you to be a part of our worship service today. To learn more about the church, its mission, and its vision, visit the website trinitychapelvirginia.com. That's trinitychapelvirginia.com. And now join us in the sanctuary of Trinity Chapel for today's broadcast.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. Next Sunday is one of those monumental events that I'm looking forward to. Our first anniversary. And I know Mark Holmes, who is preaching just down the street, finishing up right now and heading up here as quick as he can, is putting together the music. And we had a guy here before, and I was just, the word impressed isn't enough, Josh Gilbert. When Mark said, I've got a guy you've got to hear, and he brought him in here, and I'm going, yeah, it was worth it to have him here. And so he's got another group coming in, I think will be doing their music during our time of food, called One of Ten. And Mark has got some stuff he's going to do. There's another gal coming who's sang here before. So it's going to be a totally different service, totally different format. And I really believe we're going to have just a lot of fun and a good time. I want it to be a celebration with a message of encouragement for next Sunday. We've got a lot of ground to cover over the next several months, radio station to build, and I'm really thinking maybe I should also advertise this special service next week if I have the opportunity. I'm going to talk to the folks at WMEV and see what I can come up with. That has always been very helpful to us in the past. This would be an opportunity next week. Like I say, we're just going to have a good time. This would be an opportunity next week. If you ever wanted to bring in family and friends and people that are unchurched, that would feel uncomfortable in a church, this is going to be the Sunday that you'll feel comfortable. Because it's not going to be churchy. It's good. It's not going to be... Yeah, you're going to walk in here and you're going to realize, oh, a little different this week. And so I'm excited about that, what we have planned. I don't know. I talked to Mark a little bit yesterday, and I didn't get any update. I'll have to get it a little later. Mark Holmes has been helping out a church on the south side of Chilhowee, right before the county line. And what has happened, the pastor's wife needs a liver transplant, and she's up waiting for that at University of Virginia Medical Center. And so he's up there spending his time with her because it's pretty precarious. And so about a month or so now, Mark has been filling in and preaching, though he will be with us next Sunday. And one of the things that I really want to do next Sunday, I just feel very led that part of what I want to do is pray for the other churches around us. People like what they're going through at the church south of Chilhowee. Their leader is unable to be there. His wife is in a terrible position. They need our prayer. This little church, we have our ups and downs. We have our full house and then we have our empty house. It just seems like we can never get everybody at the same time here. It's like I had a church like this when I first went to Florida, small congregation. And the kind of president of the congregation said, I really believe they send emails out and decide who's coming and who's not, to keep the number always the same. It's always a different crew. And I said, I think you're right. But it took about 2.5 years there, going into our third year, when the church just took off in growth. And we went from a small congregation like this, and suddenly, instead of being 15 to 20, it became 35. And then 35 became 55. And 55 became 120. And this all happened in a short period of time. In God's time. In God's time. I'm going to add, I see, Mark, you got here. I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to hand you a microphone so people, can you give any updates on what's happening south where you've been helping out? Is there anything you know that we don't know? Or I mean,
yes, that, she is.
Hang on. I mean, this way, everybody can hear you.
We appreciate your prayers for Laura. She had pneumonia last week, and we hadn't had an update until today. But she is doing much better as far as they pulled like 3 pounds of fluid off her lung.
Wow.
And she's, in that aspect, she is doing much better, much better. And so right now, she's starting to, her platelets, of course, have been low the whole time, but they're starting to come up just a bit. And so, you know, our prayer is that she'll continue to improve and they'll get her to a place where that she's stable and able to, and she's on dialysis also, that she'll just be stable enough, you know, to be ready when they have a liver. So, and they're talking different things right now. It's just talk right now, but they're thinking about maybe renting a place up there, Airbnb or something, and staying so that she won't have to make the long trip back and forth if they do release her. And so if they don't, of course, they won't have that problem. But they're trying to just trust God and allow him to do what he's doing. So appreciate your prayers.
I know that you have been doing yeoman's work to help them out. And it humbles me to know that I have people in a church like this. We're not about us. We're about Jesus. Am I right?
That's what it's supposed to be.
Would you lead us in prayer for that congregation, their pastor and his wife, and their need?
Certainly. Our Father, we come to you praising you and thanking you for who you are, because we know that you alone are God and you alone are good. Thank you for all that you've done, God, how you blessed us, how you loved us. We know that comes from who you are, and we just praise you this morning for that. And God, we do pray for, Lord, our brothers and sisters there the Living Hope Fellowship. God, we appreciate them and knowing that they're inviting others to your kingdom. We know that that's what they're about. We know that they're trying to lift you up, God, that others might see you and have life. We pray for them this time of need, that God, the pastor, his wife, and the family, just Lord, there's so much that has to be contended with and dealt with and fought and struggled with. Lord, they could do it easier, but they're continuing your work in the midst of all of it. So we pray for them. Give them the grace and the strength that they need. Help us to truly be united in you, God, with each other, that your body would truly be your body and united and working as one under your leadership. Thank you for this church and all that you've done. Knowing your presence is here, knowing that you have great plans, God, for those who would stand for the truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And as I was mentioning before, just turn it off and leave it there. As I was mentioning before, looking forward to next Sunday, got a lot of work to do to get all this put together for the screens and and got some other music. I'll talk to you about it later. I'm getting excited about it. We're going to have a fun time. I don't care what anybody says. You can actually have fun at church. You really can. And we're going to prove it. Only thing I want to see if I can get fixed, and I was noticing we have a never-ending dilemma with these light screens. Another one wanting to, you know, say farewell and drop on somebody's head, probably when you're reading in a few minutes. Got a theory, and I'm going to work on it. You know, they make one that looks like an egg crate, kind of, you know, more stiff. And if I can get something like that glued to it and the whole assembly up there, it might look better, and we might be able to figure, if I get change out these things in the back, we might be able to use the main lights again. It's just the reason we don't have them on, it interferes with these microphones for some reason, and I think we isolated it down to the dimmers. So we'll change those out. Try to think, is there anything else that I need to be sharing? Going once, going, what?
We have guests coming from out of state.
Yes, that's right.
Wait, did you tell them?
Yeah, I've already mentioned.
Oh, I guess I wasn't.
You were in the back,
okay.
Welcoming people in the door. Yes, we have people from out of state coming. It's going to be a great time next weekend. And so maybe we will, I think we need to advertise it. I'll figure a way to do that. Let's stand if we can, and let's sing our opening song, Holy is the Lord.
We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He, and together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord, God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord, God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He, and together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord, God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord, God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. It's rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. It's rising. Together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord, God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord, God. Is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with. His glory.
Let us pray. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of your holy by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, the strength of all those who put their trust in you, accept our prayers, and because of our weakness, of our mortal nature, we can do no good thing without you. Grant us the help of your grace, that in keeping your commandments we may please you, both in will and in deed, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Be seated for the reading of God's Word.
Good morning again. Our readings for today is in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 20. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days, and visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel," he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call you. Lie down again." So he went and he lied down. The Lord called again, "Samuel, Samuel." He got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." The Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears it tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning this house, from the beginning to end, for I have told him that I am about to punish this house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God. He did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli, but Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He said, "Here I am." Eli said, "What is that I told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also, if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was trustworthy prophet of the Lord. And now we have the Psalm, Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6 and 13 through 18, we read together. "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know me when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path, my lying down, are acquainted in all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in, behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high and I cannot attain it. For you have formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame is not hidden from you. And when it's being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. And our second lesson is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 through 12. We do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is a God who said, let the light shine out of the darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we all are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. It's the words of the Lord.
Our gospel lesson comes from St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 3, beginning at the 23rd verse. And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto them, behold, why do they on the Sabbath do which is not lawful? And he said unto them, have ye never read that what David did when he had need, and when he was hungered, he and they were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abraham, the high priest, and did not eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priest, and gave it also to them which were with him. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And he entered again into the synagogue. There was a man which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said to them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about him with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stand if you can as we sing our sermon hymn.
Jesus, holy.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we gather today around your word, I truly pray that the words you've laid upon my heart will have an impact to all those that need to hear it. May it not be a warning, but an encouragement. May it give us joy to hear what you have for us as we answer unto you. Now open our ears to hear, our eyes to see, and our hearts to receive. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. On the cover of the bulletin, you know, I debated what to preach on this week. I really did. There were several wonderful topics in those readings. You know, one about Jesus healing on the Sabbath. Notice that the powers that be, they saw the guy doing miracles, but they still want to get rid of him. Go figure. The Pharisees of their day, you're always going to have plenty of them. Trust me. But something about the lesson about young Samuel just kept resonating in my heart the first part of the week. So as I put everything together, I made the decision as I completed the bulletin to put on there God calling. Now, wouldn't it be great, you know, whenever God needs to talk to us, he could just pick up the cell phone and it rings. Hey, God calling. Hey, God. What now? Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I should have been there. But you understand, And you want me to do what? Okay. Thanks for calling. Wouldn't it be great if that's how we could talk to God today? Young Samuel had a very unique experience. If you go back in your Bible, if you'd like to, every time I read this, from Samuel. And I mean, I'm old enough to have read this story multiple times. From Samuel chapter 3, 1 Samuel chapter 3. It's hard to see without light, you know that? Let's see. I must have something wrong. Oh, I'm in 2 Samuel. That's why it's not looking right. Here we are. Okay. Let's quickly set up the scene. The child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, the priest of the temple. And in other words, he had been given up to the temple. He was going to be a servant of God. And God had a mighty call on him. And Samuel, as a kid, did not quite know it. His parents apparently did, because there he is, serving in the temple as a young kid. not really understanding what he's doing. Eli is getting old, not really able to see, not able to hear that well. Kind of sounds like me some mornings. And in the middle of the night, young Samuel's just laying in bed. What does he know about godly things and messages from God? Because you'll notice in the early part of the scripture, it says, you know, there hadn't been any prophecies, there hadn't been any of this, any of that. There'd been no, it's been kind of a dry spell from God. We're not hearing anything. We're not seeing any miracles. We're not getting any word from God. It's kind of like, what happened? Kind of sounds like today. We as a society have drifted so far away from the things of God, we don't hear from him anymore. And I think it's because many people don't want to. They'd rather not. They don't want to be bothered. They don't want to have to think through this one. So the young kid is hearing Samuel. And he gets up thinking it's Eli. So he gets out of bed and he goes trucking across wherever his room was. I'm here. And the old guy goes, I didn't call you. It's happened three times. Third time, Eli, you know, this could be God calling. I know it's been a long time. We forgot what it's like to hear from God. It's been ages. And the best advice that Eli could give, next time God calls, just say, I am here. Speak to me. The ministry of Samuel is quite intense if you look throughout the scripture. God called that young man to great things. And I remind you, he was just a young kid given unto God, given to serve Eli at the temple. God laid that upon the parent's heart, and then Eli answered the call. How many of you are familiar? There's different melodies for it. This old hymn. Hark the voice of Jesus calling, who will go and work today? Fields are white and harvest calling, who will bear the sheaves away? Loud and long the master calleth, rich rewards he offers thee. Who will answer gladly saying, here I am, send me, send me? Samuel answered that call. Others throughout history, you can go through the Bible, heard from God and answered the call. Before Easter, I did a series of sermons and messages based upon the life of Christ as he was gathering his disciples together. And what an eclectic bunch he chose. Did he get the theologians of the day? Did he get the leaders and the wealthy? Did he get those with the proper degrees? Did he call any of the Sadducees or Pharisees to be his followers? No, not a one. He found some hard-hearted fishermen, some hard-headed individuals, just day laborers, a physician and a tax collector. And the tax collector being one of the most despised people in the realm. And that band of misfits, I remember that term misfits because when I was studying many, many years ago, back in the 70s at a university, we talked about, in a religious class, about the disciples. And I remember the professor going, Jesus picked the misfits of his day. And the reason he does that, I mean, that's why he chose me. Believe me, there are more qualified people out there that God could have, you know, gone through the degree, he's going to the Harvard Divinity School. No, I didn't. Either did Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. But they learned at the master's feet. The message that is just burning inside of me, and it's going to bubble up a few times over the next month or two. Next Sunday, as we have our celebration service, I'm going to do kind of an introduction. And when I say introduction, it's going to be one of the shorter messages that you'll ever hear me give. It's entitled, We Are the Church. That's where I'll be going next week. We are the church. And the church is a body, not a building. How do I put this? The word, the fancy word from the Greek for church is called ekklesia. Those that are called out. We are called out to be separate from this world. The church is not a building. It is not this physical structure. It's not even an organization or a denomination. The church is you, you, me. It's people, not a program. It's believers, not a building. And trust me, it doesn't belong to any particular denomination. There are times I wonder how God tolerates the divisions. I spend a lot of time, probably more than I should, but because of the nature of the things that I do and where I came from ecclesiastically, where I listen to some of the guys that I used to work with arguing over the silliest, stupidest things. And I'm going, there's a world of people that don't even know Jesus, and you're busy discussing which way the candle should be in an altar. Should there be one or two? Should it be two? Or you allowed to have them, the book? It's just like, really? You want to know why I got so upset with you people and almost walked away from ministry entirely? Because of your stupidity, your arrogance, and you're getting in the way of the gospel and God's calling. And then God dealt with me and said, my call is not done with you yet. And so once again, I said, okay, here I am, Lord, send me again. And here we are. I will tell you, there are some weeks it is harder than others. And forget the health issues. They'll take care of themselves. But you put a lot in and you wonder, Lord, did I accomplish anything today? Was anybody's heart stirred? Did anybody get the message? Did I waste my time? Will they remember what I said on Tuesday, what I said today on Sunday? Or was this just an exercise in speaking and public speaking? There are two things that I have learned in ministry. And I've had to watch myself over the years. Coming out of my background, forget the theological background, just my work background. Yeah, it's easy to speak and preach and talk for lengthy periods of time. I remember as a young child, and I mean, you're talking 12, 13 years of age. And I first heard that voice inside of me calling me to ministry. I knew it then. My grandparents knew it then. The pastor of my church knew it then. I knew it then. And I successfully evaded it until I was age 40. You can't evade it, trust me. God knows, but he prepares your heart. But I remember, I guess I was 12, probably 1967, maybe not even that, I gotta think. Anything more? Yeah, maybe 66, 67, somewhere in there. Talking with my church pastor. And you know, we were a big church, but he seemed to know everybody. And how he did that is a miracle, just is an incredible guy. And I said, you know, I would love to, you know, serve God as a pastor, but I don't know if I could ever get into that big pulpit up there and preach. I mean, how do you talk like that for so long and you have to write it? I mean, this is a 12-year-old thinking this. How do you do that? And he said, I'm going to give you some words of advice. I didn't fully understand it then, but I understand it now. He goes, Robert, that's what everybody knew me back then as a kid. He said, it's pretty easy. Number one, you need to just study God. You need to read your Bible and study, pray. God will always give you the message and never get in the way of that message. Rule number one, rule number two, study and pray. Number two, don't get in the way of the message. And number three, always remember that a good sermon is like a woman's skirt. Long enough to cover the subject and short enough to be interesting. That has resonated in my mind since I was 12. And I've been in some churches, and I'm watching the clock, I really do, to make sure I'm not just repeating myself. I have been in some churches where the guy goes on for 45 minutes to an hour and 10. And after I get out, 5 minutes after I leave the church, I would say, what did he just say? What was he sharing? I heard a lot of words, but I didn't hear anything in my, nothing resonated. I pray every Sunday when I come before you and those watching online. And once again, a big thank you. We have our bulletin being produced by somebody in Ohio. Did a great job this week. One less thing I have to worry about. Lord, am I getting your word out? Lord, are people's lives being changed? Are people learning? There are times I don't know. There are times even I have to wonder. But I also remember the Bible says the word of God never goes out and comes back void. So if I'm being true to God's word, then if I'm preaching and I'm getting out of the way of the message, if I'm listening to God's Holy Spirit as he energizes me and leads me through the week to come to this point where I'm in front of you, I want people's lives to be changed. So what was the point of my message this morning? This is where the rubber's about to meet the road. Bear with me. Like I said, my phone didn't go off with God calling to tell me what to preach today. The only way you get to that point is to listen to that inner still voice. All of you have it if you open your heart to it. There are people listening to me right now, whether here as a video or on radio. And I say this because this is what God laid on my heart early this week when I put that cover on the bulletin. I said, that's the picture I want to use. God calling. Is God calling you? And if so, what is it he's calling you to do? I wrestled and bargained with God from the time that I was in high school and getting a little bit more mature, understanding a call and having every excuse in the book why I couldn't do it, why I wasn't the right guy. Or, well, you know, the circumstances of life are forbidding me from going in this direction. I did all of that. I did every bit of it. And so what did I do at age 16? I figured my career path would be better served if I was a disc jockey. I'd be happy and content. And that became my goal at 16. By the time I was 17, I was working at a top 40 radio station, afternoon drive in high school. The kid that was kind of the nerdy kid, all of a sudden was a high school hero. He's on the radio. And he plays the hits. Did my electronics school, everything just seemed to be going in that direction. And the idea of going on to this school, that school, this seminary, or that seminary, it was just out of reach. The doors were shut, and I just assumed that maybe I heard somebody else's calling. No, I heard my calling. I just wasn't quite time yet, but I was always being prepared. You know, I'll tell you the one thing, and Mark, I think you know this because God has had a call in your life, and you know it. It always makes you mindful in everything you do and say. It always comes back, yeah, I've got that calling though, God. I got to be careful what I say and what I do. There's always that conscience that is there, that God has laid in place to begin to guide you And you realize when you failed, you realize when, you know, I'm really not doing what God wants me to do. You become more mindful than anybody else because God has really laid it upon your heart. I wish I could remember one of the verses of that hymn, Hark the Voice of Jesus Calling. It's just been so many years. When God calls you to serve Him, not everybody's called to be a pastor, an evangelist, or a preacher, though some are. Many are called to teach little children, to guide them and bring them up in the faith. You'd be surprised how many jobs there are in God's kingdom. Everything from trying to fix that cotton picking light up there so it doesn't fall down. Maybe learn how to set the screens up. Not that hard, but it takes me time to do it every week. There are a lot of little things that we can do as a team. But I'll tell you the most important thing that we sometimes lack is praying together as a family. Everybody in here, I don't care who you are, everybody has a need. Everybody has something that concerns them, troubles them, sometimes even worries them, whether it's for yourself or for somebody else. We live in an age today where the things of God are increasingly being just trashed. Only way to put it. That's the only word I can find. Just trashed. I try to think, Lord, what can we do here in this little church, in this little community? What can we do with this building to make it more attractive? What needs to be said? What lives need to be changed? What am I missing, Lord, that I'm not doing as your pastor here? What am I missing? I just happened to think of this. This was not even on my mind till just now when I turned around. I was looking toward the screen and I reminded myself. There are times, and I'm not ashamed about this. When we first got this building, I went and looked for something to have because I thought maybe we might need it. Probably saying, what in the world is this little thing? It's called an oil stock. What does the Bible teach when people are ill, sick, or in need? Anoint them with oil. God said, buy this for this church. We've had it here for a year. We haven't used it yet. And it's got a beautiful frankincense oil inside of it from Jerusalem. But the Lord just said, always have it. Because someday somebody here in this church is going to say, Bob, I have a need. I have something that needs to be taken care of. I need God's special touch. And just like the Bible said, you gather the elders of the church and you anoint them with oil, and which is just really just from the thumb. Just anoint them with oil and pray for them. If I was to say what has been the biggest mistake or the biggest shortcoming that I've had as your pastor, I've been trying to appease the people here, yet I know that there are things that I need to say and do to remind you of your calling, to let you know that we're always ready to pray for needs, whether privately or even in the service. Well, we're going to start creating the time that if there's a need, somebody, whether it's me or somebody else in the church, here as we're praying, can just go to that person saying, I don't feel well, or something is troubling me, and we pray for each other. That's what we're here for. You know, one thing I can say, when you look at that old song, Amazing Grace, and you look at the guy that wrote it, you talk about somebody that was a real wretch, a real scourge, salty in his language, in his, had no compassion, no heart, slave trader, slave ship runner. I mean, he didn't care about anybody, just the money. And God got a hold of him. You know, I never want to hear from anybody, there's, well, Bob, you know, you just don't know. I did something back in my youth, and I did this. And there's no way God can forgive me. So what you're saying is Jesus wasted his time on the cross. I got news for you. There is no sin that you can commit. By the way, I want to throw this in just real quick. Learned this way back in college. I asked a question one time. What about the sin against the Holy Spirit? And this pastor smiled. He said, if you're even concerned about it, you didn't commit it. Your heart would be so hard you could care less. If you're even asking, you're not eligible. That was some good news. How can we pray for you in this church today? How can you pray for me? How can we pray to bring more people into this congregation? And is God, is there God calling? Is it? Let me put it this way. How many times have you ever, I'm going to close on this. How many times have you seen a call, oh man, I can't do it. And you kind of, burr. We've all done it at least once. Twice. 100 times. When God is calling, don't push it off the voicemail. God is persistent. And he will never let it go. That's the only warning I'm giving you. He'll never let it go. And I've learned one other thing, if I've learned nothing else, that once you submit to that calling, life is not guaranteed to be easy, but you're going to be a whole lot more satisfied. Let me say that again. Life will not be easy. Ask the disciples. Ask St. Paul. Ask all of them. But they were satisfied. And their life meant something. And never say, oh, Lord, I have nothing to give. Oh, he, you have more to give than you know. And what you don't have, God will place in you. When God called me to this kind of ministry, I was definitely not the guy. And I remember those great words. God seldom calls the qualified, but he always qualifies those that he calls. He has that power. He certainly does. As I pray, I'm going, Lord, what are you trying to say to this place today? Lift up your burden, lift up your call, lift up your troubles to him today. Today is the time. This is the hour. This is the moment. I'm encouraging you as best as I possibly can to not put it off, whatever that call is on your life. Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of this message today, I pray for each and every person here in this room. You have brought this congregation to this point with these people for a purpose and a reason, and everybody here today is here because they needed to hear this message, whether they understand it or not. Lord, I've learned one thing. There are no coincidences with you. And I also understand that when we as a group come together and answer your call, greater things begin to happen in our midst. Miracles literally happen before our very eyes. Lives begin to be changed. Things begin to happen. Lord, you know that one of my favorite songs is a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And I know it's the spirit of the Lord. And Lord, there are some Sundays like at this moment, I feel that spirit in this place. Anoint us, encourage us, direct us. If there's any aspect of our lives that need healing, forgiveness, or change, Lord, I know by the power of your Holy Spirit, it can be done like that. Lord, I pray that we answer your call and that you will find us faithful. Let us be like young Samuel. Lord, here I am. Speak to me, your servant. Now, for all the needs, Lord, I lift them up to you for our nation and all the challenges we face. I give them unto you. And all the people said, amen and amen. As we come to our time of closing, let me just share, and we'll stand together and sing, probably one of the most well-known hymns, especially those of the Protestant faith. In times we need to be reminded, just as I am. Lord, you didn't ask us to fix ourselves before we came to you. We come to you just as I am. Let's stand together and sing as we close our service today.
Just as I am with us.
You've been listening to the worship service from Trinity Chapel in 7 Mile Ford, Virginia. Trinity Chapel is a small, traditional, and biblically based congregation in the southwest corner of Virginia. The church pastor is the Reverend Bob Bierman, also host of Truth to Ponder, heard on this station. We want to thank you for being a part of our worship service today. To learn more about the church, its mission, and its vision, visit the website trinitychapelvirginia.com. That is trinitychapelvirginia.com. And we invite you to join us next week at the same time for another service from Trinity Chapel.